Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Thanks very much, Diarmaid. Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. How are you? 51551, ray@rte.ie, the 1st of March 2021. And didn't February throw down the gauntlet to March, which yesterday it sort of said, hey, match that March if you can. This is, I'm giving you my best. I'm saving my best till last. The 28th of February and this glorious, nearly summer-like day. And let's hope March can match it. That'd take us through, wouldn't it? It's good to get to the 1st of March because, you know, that ridiculous argument every year when it comes to the 1st of February and people say it's spring and other people say it's not spring. Well, the 1st of March, I think we're in spring, aren't we? We are. Crocuses, daffodils, snowdrops. I was just thinking when I was out in the park there on Saturday, that crocuses don't get a lot of press, do they? I was going to set up a marketing campaign for crocuses. You hear about daffodils and you hear about snowdrops, but the poor little crocuses who offer a lot more colour to the situation are barely mentioned. So we're going to start a campaign to up the profile of crocuses. Maybe it's just that they're so small. And maybe that they come in between, do they? It's snowdrops first, isn't it? And then it's crocuses and daffodils together. And of course, daffodils are taller. Maybe that's it. But well done to everybody who's involved in park maintenance, because we were in the park on Saturday and Sunday and yesterday. And I know there's loads of rubbish going on and terrible things happening in the city centre, but it was an oasis of calm and happiness. And there were people playing cricket, there were people doing frisbees, there were people trying to practice a tightrope. That I kid you not, she was very good at it as well. Although at one stage it was so low that she was actually on the ground. But anyway, that was there. And then there were dads like myself playing football against their sons, and just everyone was happy. Everyone was happy. A bit of weather, a bit of sunshine, a bit of blue sky, picnics all around. It was all good. It was all good. And like parks, they've been like, in fairness, they've saved us, haven't they? That little green oasis that we have that we can go within our 5K and go up there. And there may be, if we're lucky, and we are, there might be a lovely playground attached to it. I can just hang out there and you don't have to talk to anybody. Just to be in the company, even if it is over 5 or 6 acres or whatever big a park is, at least you feel like you're having human company outside of your family, which is important, really important. There's a lovely, I have to draw your attention, and maybe people have been talking about this picture all day, but it just struck me. It's in the Times today and it's a picture by James Crombie. And it's sunrise seen yesterday at Lochbura Discovery Park in Tullamore, County Offaly. And it's a reflection in a, must be a lake, yeah, Lochbura, a lake. But it's there's only two colours. There's a sort of a lightly burnt orange and then the rest of it is black. And you know that psychological test, the Rorschach test? They're sort of symmetrical ink blots and they show them to you and they say, what do you see in that? And then they can tell what sort of personality you have by what you see in the ink blot. It's like that. It's like a Rorschach test ink blot. It is just beautiful. It looks like a work of art. It's amazing. You have to go and see it. It's on page 10. I don't know if it's online. I'll just give him another mention. James Crombie, congratulations to you on an amazing photograph. I'm going to contact him and see if I can get a copy of that and frame it and put it up. I haven't discussed that with Jenny yet, but it's just amazing. So well done. That's lovely. The other thing that happened over the weekend, now maybe there's an answer for this. Maybe it's Brexit, or maybe there's some toy or some gadget that I don't know about. But there seems to be, particularly in our area, there seems to be a shortage of AAA batteries. Anybody else? No, maybe it's just me. Because I had to go to 1, 2, 3. I got them in the 4th shop. I had to go to 4 shops before I got AAA batteries. And see, if there's a shortage of something, that's what happens, because people do the same route, don't they? They go to the first shop, the parent says, no, we've no AAA. And then they go to the nearest shop, no, we've no AAA, because the people have gone there as well. And then you go around and eventually, 4th shop, AAA batteries. Anybody, anything to offer there? 51551, ray@rte.ie. And maybe there is some gadget to do with working from home that I don't know about. And speaking of working from home, this is brilliant. I love this. I'm going to order them online when I go home this evening. Pajama suits. In Japan, first of all, it was the Zoom shirt. People working from home, they had the one shirt and they put it on the back of the chair and they only put it on when they're in the Zoom meetings. Now you don't even have to get out of your pajamas, because two Japanese companies have decided that this is the way forward. You see, what has happened in the clothing industry is that things that were traditionally sold, the demand has dropped off. For example, online searches for suits is down 34% and people are going elsewhere. So the online searches for Crocs is up, the online searches for sweatpants is up 108%. And there's going to be huge demand for these pyjama suits. So it's pyjama bottoms and then the top. This is the genius. This is where the genius is. So only from sort of your elbow up, it looks like a shirt. But the rest of it is a pyjamas. So you can wear it to bed. You can roll out of bed at 5 to 9, maybe 2 minutes to 9, and present yourself in front of your Zoom call looking like you've been up for an hour and you've been prepping and answering your emails and all that sort of thing. So it's pyjama suits. You heard it here first. And you can get them for the boys and for the girls. The Golden Globes on last night. Is it on the telly tonight? It must be on the telly tonight. It would be, yeah. No success for the Irish nominations, unfortunately. I see Soul won the award for best score, best music. We're going to play some of that for you for the start of the show today. 515 on radio.rt.ie. Eric Brennan has been on, I think it's Twitter or it could be Instagram. We've been keeping you up to date with Sophie Brennan's developments in hospital. And Sophie went in for her surgery last week to correct her scoliosis. And Eric says, our warrior has all tubes, lines out, changed into her new PJs, runners on, and for the first time, she's walked tall and straight. Isn't that amazing? She's walked tall and straight. Sophie, you're a real life hero. We are in awe of you every day. Such an inspiration to all of us. Getting closer to the door, nearly home time, proudest moments ever, ever. We could just burst with pride. And that's Eric and Sam, Sophie's parents. And there's parents all over the country who are feeling joy today because they've sent their junior, senior, first and second class children out to school. And it is a moment. It is a moment. Because fingers crossed, we're going towards little small steps. We're going towards, you know, being back to normal. And of course, Leaving Certs were back today as well. Weren't the Leaving Certs were back today as well? Yeah. And our little Tom, who's in second class, he skipped out the door and he's delighted to be saying hello to his friends again in reality, as opposed to on a Zoom call. And I'd say that's the case for most children. Maybe some prefer their time at home. And it was a bit emotional today, like a first day back at school. But for most, I think, particularly the parents, it was a good day, a joyous day. Now, 5155 on radio.rt.ie, I better tell you about our quiz of today. Hit that there. There you go. Yes. Today is the 1st of March, 2021. We've cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years. And we're looking for two people to answer 5 questions each. And there is a prize. Yes, great prize. Comes from the Dillon 5-star luxury boutique hotel. It's a magical place where guests can relax in the stylish romantic surrounds of the Ruby Room with its extensive cocktail menu, or dine inside or out in the stylish Edison and Nursery terraces, both covered and heated for guests' comfort. The prize is an overnight stay for two people in a luxury double room and is inclusive of all full Irish breakfast in the Edison restaurant. And you can find out more at dillon.ie. So, if you want to be in with a chance to win that, you have to get on, answer 5 questions and have a bit of a chat, and of course answer a qualifying question, which is this. In which Irish county would you find the town of Malahide? Which Irish county would you find the town of Malahide? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Good luck with that. Let's see what you're saying on the text thing. Today is the 1st of March, St. David's Day, who's the patron saint of vegetarians. He's also the patron saint of Naas in County Kildare. I didn't know that. And of Wales, says Liam Kenny from Naas. And he should know. Vegetarians, Naas and Wales. There you go. There's a collection. Look at the Kilmacurra Facebook page for amazing pics of crocuses, says Janet. Thanks for that, Janet. And the shortage of batteries is down to all the children and older children playing Xbox online. They need them for their controllers. I know this because I had the same issue buying batteries as Tommy. So that's it. You see, I knew there was a reason. X battery controllers. And you see, I had to buy a new computer last year when we started working from home. And it's a wireless keyboard, so that takes batteries. And the mouse is wireless as well, so that takes batteries. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe people working from home, the AAAs are in demand. Now, 515 on radio.rt.ie, I mentioned Soul, and this is a song from Same. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. There you go, John Batiste. And it's all right. That's nice, isn't it? Make you smile, clap your hands. There's a coincidence. Maybe it's not a coincidence at all. But James Crombie, who took that photograph yesterday morning at Loch Boura Discovery Park in Tullamore, he was awarded Press Photographer of the Year. And that was announced on the Late Late Show on Friday night. So well done, James, on the award. And well done again on that amazing photograph in today's Irish Times. Now, this is probably connected to our mention of working from home and the suit pyjamas. I don't know if you or your listeners could offer me some advice, but I'm after having a disastrous virtual interview experience and have another one next week. Well, how do you know it's going to be disastrous? Which I can't afford to mess up. I had a job interview over Zoom last Thursday for a rather large tech company. I've always done great interviews in person in the past, but this was totally different. I'm usually very relaxed in interview settings and I'm able to strike up a great rapport with people that are asking the tough questions. But trying to do that with three faces looking at you through a screen is impossible. I couldn't read their body language at all. If I had the tiniest pause, one of the interviewers thought I was finished talking and would start a new question. So I ended going a mile a minute to try and get everything out. It was all just really awkward. I would love to hear from other people how they're getting on with the new way of having to do interviews like this, and if they have any tips for someone like me who's grand in person but a disaster on video. Anonymous. It must be very, very tough. Meetings on their own are tough on Zoom. They're a lot more intense. There's nowhere to hide. And as you say, you can't read body language, which you can in a room of people. So doing interviews on Zoom must be terrible hard. So if anybody has any tips out there that can help this person, feels they did a disastrous one last week, maybe it wasn't as bad as you think. What does somebody say about television? It's never as good or as bad as you thought it was. Anyway, so any tips, because they're doing another one next week, and any tips you have for doing interviews on Zoom, get them into us, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. That's the second or third time in the last week I've got a huge smile hearing great news about Sophie. Absolutely brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant about Sophie. 51551 at ray@rte.ie. Yes, this is
the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 for your text. Now, 3 years ago and a week, we spoke to a lady called Vicky Phelan. We'd got an email from her brother John, and John told us about Vicky and how amazing she was, and told us that she was fundraising to go to America to get cutting-edge treatment for cervical cancer. As it happened, that never happened then, but it has happened in the last 6 weeks. And Vicky is on the line now from Maryland in the United States of America. Good afternoon, Vicky.
Hey, Ray, how are you? God, yeah, I can't believe it's actually 3 years since I was on your show. That was the first interview I ever did.
I looked back at it today because there was a video of it, and you wouldn't think so because you are Vicky Phelan. Do you know what I mean? You are the Vicky Phelan we know now. There's no difference whatsoever. Very confident, together, well-researched person, and no surprise that everybody knows your name now. How does that make you feel? Everybody knows your name.
It still feels really strange, to be quite honest. It never really sat well with me, you know, because I never did any of this to become famous. Do you know what I mean? That was never my intention. It was just really to highlight, something which I felt people needed to know about, and then to help people, really. I mean, that's really what I'm still doing.
Are you in the place that you were hoping to go to when you first spoke to us all three years ago? You are,
exactly.
Right. The National Cancer Institute in Maryland.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And is your doctor the same guy, Dr. Christian?
That'll give you my level of determination, yes, right?
Because at the time you had jumped through a number of hoops, but the last one, which was something to do with a protein, You hadn't got the right protein, wasn't that it?
No.
Yeah.
So it was a very particular blood test I had to have done, which we don't do in Ireland. So they actually had to send over the vials from the States, and I had to go up to my GP to get the blood drawn for it. But even my GP was saying, you know, he'd never seen the kind of the type of vials that they were using. Because you know the way sometimes when you get bloods done in your GPs, I often find that fascinating, that some vials there's stuff in the bottom of them, so they to preserve them or to mix them. Or so there was some particular, you know, something in the vial that they needed to kind of test this blood for this protein. So it was a HLA blood test. But I was literally, I think, 0.0001 or something, very fractional anyway, off what I needed. But like, you know, clinical trials are so clinical that, you know, if you don't meet all the criteria, that's it. So, and you know what, when I look back at it now, I'm glad I didn't qualify, because, you know, I don't think I would have been well enough to travel or well enough to start on a clinical trial at the time, to be quite honest.
Were you in the middle of a court case when you spoke to us?
I was.
You were. Something you couldn't talk about, obviously.
No, I couldn't talk about it at the time, but I was. Yeah, that was. I had literally just been speaking and met my legal team, I think, the week before I came up to talk to you.
Right. And were your family aware you were going through a court case?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, just my family. That was
it. And that's why that GoFundMe thing was so important, I think, because you said it over and over again that this has given us something to, you know, to go for and to go after.
Because we didn't know, I mean, at the time, to be quite honest, you know, none of us knew how long this would take, you know, because, I mean, as you know now, with a number of cases that are pending, the only reason my case was heard so soon was because I was terminally ill. But anybody who was not in that position, you know, like Stephen Teep, for example, who's lost his wife, you know, Irene, they could be waiting for 2 and 3 years for their case to be heard. So we didn't know how long it would take, and kind of naturally assumed that, you know, this would be ongoing for maybe 6 months or more, you know.
How many cases are pending, Vicky? Do you know?
I think something like 180, could be more. Wow. I know there was something in the paper yesterday, but as far as I know, it's definitely in around that figure anyway. So but look, not all of those cases are cases where there's going to be negligence. A lot of those cases are cases where women or their families are taking a case for non-disclosure.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, they're not all cases.
Because that was, there was always
negligence.
Two levels, wasn't there? It was
yes,
the negligence and then the non-disclosure. There were two parts
exactly.
of the story. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, that was what we had hoped the tribunal would deal with, that the tribunal would be an avenue for people to take the cases for the non-disclosure, where it would fast track people. But that didn't happen, you know, and that's why, you know, we withdrew from the negotiations on that, because we weren't, our needs weren't being met, to be quite honest. And, you know, interestingly enough, as far as we are aware, there hasn't been a single case taken to the tribunal yet.
Right, just to remind people then, just to go back a little bit, because
Leo
Varadkar was the Taoiseach at the time, or the Minister for Health? The Taoiseach.
He was the Taoiseach at the time,
yes.
Yeah.
And he said that no other women would go through what you had to go through.
Yeah.
And he had to obviously roll back on that. So what we have now are all these women, some of them are terminally ill, are they?
Yes, there are still women that are terminally ill. I mean, the only cases that are being heard in court at the moment are cases where women are terminally ill, as, you know, Lindsay Bennett was the most recent one. We had Patricia Carrick before that. And then we had, you know, the poor, awful case of Joan Lucy who actually died.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only cases at the moment that are being heard are women who are in that position. And once, I suppose, they get to the end of those cases, well, then they'll start hearing cases based on when the proceedings were lodged, I suppose, with the High Court, of other women who are in remission, or men like Stephen who've lost their wives.
Yeah. What's the better way?
What's the better way? The better way is if, you know, once negligence has been established, that they settle at mediation and not go to court and not drag people, you know, all the way to the steps of the court to settle, which is what seems to be happening every single time. But that's not happening.
And the reason they're doing that, Vicky, just to make it clear for people, is because there are labs involved, is it?
Yeah, so unfortunately, like with Ruth Morrissey's appeal, when the Supreme Court upheld the ruling in her case, what that established was that for any cases going forward from that point, so that was March 2020 last year, that ruling was made, that the HSE were found to be the primary, primarily liable for the screening programme. Yes. But the problem with that, Ray, is that that was, you know, ruled in March 2020. Nearly every case that had been, proceedings would have been issued by practically
prior
all
to that,
of the,
prior to
exactly,
that, yes, I
and
see.
Labs would have been joined, okay. So you can't discontinue those proceedings.
And can they not make it retrospective? No.
Well, no, I don't think so, because you see costs are already after being, you know, incurred. So that is where the difficulty lies. So anyone who had already issued proceedings and joined Labs as co-defendants, you know, that can't be undone, really.
So we're going to be hearing more
around that.
We're going to be hearing more stories like poor Joan Lucy and
Lynn. We will, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, I've got to ask you at the top, how are you today? Because it's each day
good,
at a time.
Yeah, I'm good this week. Really good this week, thank God.
So where are you at with the treatment then?
So I've had three doses now already. So I'm here nearly seven weeks actually at this stage. And I get treatment every 2 weeks. So I just have to go in for treatment on one day every 2 weeks. And then in between, my time is my own. But obviously for the first couple of treatments, I've been recovering from side effects and I've had a couple of rough days and ended up having to go into hospital to get IV fluids, go on a drip because I was so dehydrated from vomiting. But, you know, they've adjusted my anti-sickness medications and that seems to be working because I had treatment on Tuesday. And touch wood so far, I've been fine all week. So, you know, it's like everything, you know, it's just a matter of your body adjusting to new drugs and trying to find, a combination of drugs to deal with the side effects, really, you know. So I think I'm getting there, hopefully.
And have you been through this sort of thing before? Like, say, when you started taking pembrolizumab, was it similar?
Yeah. It was similar in some respects. I had a worse reaction to Pembro when I started. The very first dose I had of Pembro, I had really, I don't think I've ever been as ill. I actually thought I was dying. I was so bad. I had a really high temperature. I was hallucinating. I was almost, Jim said I was shaking out so much he thought I was having a seizure. Like, it was horrendous. It was actually worse for him because I don't remember half the night, to be quite honest. But once I kind of got over the first, the poor man, God love him.
I was just doing the mental image there.
I know. Oh, Jesus, God love. I don't know how he nearly had a heart attack, I'd say, to be quite honest, trying to deal with it at home on his own. But once I got over the first really, really bad reaction to Pembro, I've had other reactions, obviously, along the way, but that was the worst one. And I haven't had that with this, which was great. But, you know, you do get different ones. So, I mean, I generally tend to have a sensitive stomach, so I know, generally kind of always vomit, on drugs. And I would have, and even up to, when I finished on Pembro just before Christmas, I would have been vomiting, maybe one day every 2 or 3 weeks, literally for the whole day I'd have to take to the bed and just, put the bucket beside me and I'd be vomiting for the day. But I got used to it, but it was just one day and then I was fine. Whereas with this drug, there was no end to the vomiting. I just couldn't stop and I got dehydrated quite fast. So they've kind of adjusted my anti-sickness medication so that I take this drug now that I literally put my tongue in it and it goes straight into your bloodstream. Whereas what they had given me was a drug that, you take orally, like any tablet, but it wasn't hitting my stomach. So by the time it hit my stomach, I was already vomiting. Oh. So, it's all these little adjustments that you have to make, I suppose.
And what's it doing?
What's the drug doing?
Yeah.
So I suppose, it's a very similar drug to Pembro. It's an immunotherapy drug. And that's why I wanted to go on this trial because, I had responded so well to Pembro. I thought, I wanted to look for another drug similar to that. So the difference between this drug and Pembro is there's an extra bit to this drug. So it's kind of like Pembro 2.0, really. Right. It's a better version of Pembro. So a lot of people that are on this trial have been on Pembro like me and Pembro stopped working. My doctor said that, half of the patients that he has on this trial who were on Pembro respond really well to this drug because they responded so well to Pembro. So that was really promising for me to hear. So I'm hoping I'll be one of those. It also has some kind of, it's the extra bit that it does you know, I suppose the extra kind of bit that it attacks, this fusion protein or something. I don't really understand the ins and outs of it, but that's the bit that can cause other side effects. So the main side effect I'm worried about, I suppose, with me is bleeding. So bleeding from my bladder, you know, bladder damage. So that's what he's looking out for at the moment, because I've had so much radiation that I'd be at a higher risk of bleeding than other patients. But so far, you know, touch wood, I haven't had any bleeding. So hopefully that'll stay the way.
And the way these trials work is that they have to see that it is working, or else you're taken off the trial. And March 23rd, which is what, 22 days time, is D-Day for you.
Yeah.
What happens that day?
So I have a scan that day. So, you know, I have a whole schedule literally lined out for me for the whole next 12 months, literally up to next February, actually, to be quite honest. So I have dates for treatments and scans. Everything is booked in. So you have the whole schedule is outlined for the whole year. And my first scan is on the 23rd of March. And, you know, if everything goes well, you know, I'll have a scan every 8 weeks. But if, you know, if I have this scan on the 23rd and they see that there has been no change and my tumours are still either the same size or have grown, well, that's the end of that. You know, I literally will be taken off the trial that day, pretty much. Because, you know, it costs so much to have patients on trials. I think it costs something like $1 million per patient on a trial. So, you know, it's an expensive venture for them. So, you know, I mean, if somebody's not responding, they literally will try and find somebody else, you know.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. But, you know, I'm actually quite positive and fairly hopeful that this is going to work for me, because already one of the things they're looking at in my bloods is they're looking at my CA125 levels, which is a marker, with particularly that would be seen in women with gynecological cancers like I have, like cervical, but more so in ovarian. But it is something that some women with cervical cancer show very high signs of, and I am one of those. So when I started here in January, my levels were 330 or more, I think, and the normal level is less than 45. And already in, you know, after just two treatments, my levels are gone down to 104. So, you know, my doctor said that, you know, he's quite hopeful that that's a good indicator that the level of cancer in my body is starting to go down already. So, I mean, that's a good sign.
Yeah. It's, you know, I keep that 3-year thing keeps going around in my head, because you were told before you came into us that if you went with chemo, you would live for 6 months. And if you didn't go for any treatment, you would live for 3 months. And here you are 3 years on, which is a testimony to you and your perseverance and your determination, because you've never laid down on it at all.
No.
Which is amazing. And one of the things you wanted to do, and you said it to me and you said to other people along, was to get to Dara's 10th birthday, which was over the weekend, was it?
Yeah, last Friday. Yeah, right. So he was 10 on Friday. Yeah, and it was a tough weekend now, I have to say. I mean, I've been here nearly 7 weeks now, and I haven't had a bad day, really, you know, because I see the kids every day and I'm talking to them every day, you know, 3 times a day I ring them, really, you know, and we're on FaceTime. So I think, you know, the technology is fantastic that I can see them, so it makes all the difference. I feel like, you know, often, I mean, Amelia could be just having her dinner and I'm sitting there chatting to her, you know, propped up on the phone. I feel like I'm in the kitchen, you know. So the technology is great, and I've never, you know, there are times obviously at night time when I sometimes feel kind of lonely, but most of the time, you know, I'm actually okay. But last week, the weekend was hard not being there for the birthday, because it's the first one I've missed, you know. But, you know, I suppose I've always been a very rational, logical person, and I'm able to kind of, you know, tease it out in my head and could just say, okay, well, I'm not there for this one, but, you know, the whole point of doing this is so that I'm there for the next one and the one after that and hopefully the one after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and kids are resilient, you know. Kids, we don't give them enough credit, really. You know, they're far more resilient than adults are. They get on with things, and Dara was a little bit upset, obviously, on Thursday night, I think, going to bed before his birthday, that I wasn't going to be there. But, you know, on the day of his birthday, once he was, you know, got all his presents and cake, and, you know, he had a little friend over.
Fine.
You know, sure, that's it. You know, they're selfish creatures at the end of the day. You know, once it's all about them, they're fine.
I really enjoyed your piece with Jen Hogan last week, because it's about the kindness of strangers, and particularly Irish strangers. So in a very short space of time, you've developed a network of support over in America from people that you didn't know. 2 months ago.
I mean, I knew not one single person when I got here on the 10th of January. And, you know, since I've arrived, I have, you know, made, I would say, at least 8 probably friends, you know, as I would definitely call them friends at this stage, and people who visited me. Like Geraldine Holzman is an Irish woman who's been living here for 25 years from Tipperary, and she contacted my brother on Facebook before, just when I landed here, to offer help, you know. And she didn't know anything about me. All she saw, she read something on Facebook about this woman that's coming out to America. She knew she lived quite close to the hospital, and that she was leaving her kids and her family, and she thought, oh my God, you know, that must be awful. You know, I'll reach out and see if they want, you know, me to give her a hand. And we've just hit it off, you know. I mean, I've stayed in Geraldine's house now, you know, for the last couple of weeks. I've been here for 2 or 3 nights a week, you know. And we, yeah, honestly, I
don't mean, overstay your welcome.
A friendship. Well, that's true. And then, you know, there was another couple, Irish couple from Galway who live in New Jersey, who drove down one weekend.
How long is that trip?
It's like 4 hours.
Right.
I mean, for us, that's a long... Yeah, but for somebody living in America, 3 or 4 hours in the car is nothing.
Right.
You know, whereas for us, I mean, you drive 3 or 4 hours, that's a big deal. But they drove down from New Jersey and they brought food down and literally filled my freezer with stews and pot pies and soup, and stayed here in a hotel for the weekend. And, you know, we met up and outside for dinner. And you know...
Isn't that brilliant?
It was just lovely. Like, it's been fantastic. It's just... I can't get over it, really, you know.
You were saying when you were on the Late Late Show before you went that you were scared of not coming back, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a real fear, I would imagine.
It is. It is a very real fear. And I think before I started the trial, it was very much the case that, you know, I did worry. And of course, you know, I had to make sure that I have all my, you know, I have.
I know your affairs in order. It's difficult to say that, isn't it? It's difficult to say that.
Yeah, but, you know, I just thought I don't want to have my parents having to be scrambling or Jim, you know, to try and figure out how to get me back. And, you know, so, I mean, it's terrible to have to think about those things. But I did have to think about those things before I came out, and to make sure that if I do die while I'm over here, that it's not going to be a big nightmare for my family to try and get me home. So they're horrible things to have to be thinking about when you're planning a trip. You know, you shouldn't have to be thinking about these things, but I do.
Yeah.
But now that I'm here and I've started, I don't feel...
You're more positive.
You know, that fear is... Yeah.
In that interview we did 3 years ago, it's odd knowing what... We all know now about you and what you were going through at the time, because, as you say, you were going through a court case. You actually were singing the praises of cervical check in a way. You were saying that, you know, the pap smear had revolutionised women's health.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I've always spoken up, even since my court case, for screening, because I don't want to see other women getting this cancer, because, A, there's no cure for it once it becomes advanced. You know, if it's caught at an early stage, which is one of the things that the smear is good for, or if you get to the next stage, which is colposcopy, where they laser off some of your cells, you still have an opportunity to be caught at an early stage. Once it gets beyond that, if, you know, if you're diagnosed and treatment doesn't work, or treatment works and it comes back like it did in my case, well, you know, you really are fighting the clock at that stage, because there is no cure for this cancer. So, you know, for me, I've always been very conscious of the fact that I certainly do not want less women going for smears. You know, smears work well when... with more women going.
Yes,
and, you know, there may have been failures in the past with cervical check. And I suppose what bothers me over the last number of months is, you know, that, you know, there are certain elements in cervical check who still won't admit that there were huge failures in cervical check. But they need to accept that.
I think you're referring to Dr. Noreen Russell, who said that she doesn't like the word scandal being used when referencing.
So, which really, really bothers me, Ray, because, I mean, Gabriel Skelly, who, you know, carried out the review into what happened in cervical check, was on with Claire Byrne earlier on in the week, and she asked him about that, because he used the word scandal himself. And he was quite clear about the fact that, yes, he would absolutely use the word scandal about what happened. And he was quite surprised that Dr. Russell would have had an issue with the use of this word to describe what happened. And he went on to say, you know, what he felt that when you think of what happened, that you know, in some of the ways in which women were treated, they weren't told the truth about their own condition, they weren't told about results of their own tests, and even when women were told, they were forced into being told the truth by my case, to be quite honest. In most cases,
well, he referred to your case when he was talking to Claire Byrne,
And, you know, he went further and he said that, you know, the fact that slides of Irish women were being sent to labs in Manchester, up to Hawaii, to Honolulu, that nobody in Cervical Check knew about. Cervical Check didn't do any meaningful quality assurance in laboratories, and all of the labs in the States had accreditation that wasn't in keeping with the original contractual requirements. So there was a whole string of things, and Dr. Skelly went through all of them, that in his mind meant that absolutely, you know, this was a scandal. So, you know, I just wish that we could move past this kind of impasse, really, which is what it is, where you have the likes of me and Lorraine Walsh and Stephen Teep, you know, actually arguing with the head of Cervical Check about what happened. You know, it's ridiculous. We want to move on. We want to make sure that there is a proper screening programme, which there is now. I mean, I have great faith that, you know, screening as it is now going forward with all of the changes that have made, that women can have trust in the programme, but you need to acknowledge what happened. And you cannot be dissing, you know, me and other women who have been failed by the programme. It just doesn't look well.
Because she was quoted, Dr. Noreen Russell was quoted in the Irish Times last week saying, a lack of trust in screening programmes is causing women with cervical cancer to put their lives and health at risk, and that some are turning to weird and wacky therapies and unproven treatments due to an overwhelming lack of trust in the programmes. She said that.
I thought that was a very strange statement to make, to be quite honest, because... You know, at the end of the day, you know, she's the head of Cervical Check, which is dealing with cervical cancer at the very, you know, pre-stages. So why is she involving herself in treatment? You know, I mean, that's not her domain. You know, treatment, once women are going for treatment, they're going to see an oncologist. They've gone past Cervical Check. You have no longer, you know, you've nothing to do with Cervical Check at the stage when you go for treatment. So, you know, I really don't understand why she would even... go that down that road, you know, to be quite honest.
I still can't get over that the fact that 120 women are still going through the courts on this, and I think people would be shocked to hear that, and particularly in talking to you and knowing what you went through, and there's no way of stopping that, is there? It's in train.
No, I mean, that's what we were hoping, that the Cervical Check Tribunal would provide an avenue for women, you know, who just wanted, you know, particularly cases where there is, you know, no negligence to be established, where women just want to get a settlement for the non-disclosure, which was, you know, they've agreed an amount for that. And this tribunal would have fast-tracked those. But, you know, we had numerous meetings, as you know, with the Minister for Health and a number of officials from the department, and they just weren't budging, Ray. So, you know, we just had to step away from it, because, you know, it wasn't going to be any less adversarial than the High Court, so we couldn't stand over it.
You probably didn't get this bit of news over in Maryland, but it's important that your book was one of the most borrowed books from Irish libraries last year.
Just so you know. I did. I saw it on Twitter, I think, the other day. Yeah, I did. Right. I saw it. And and actually, my publisher sent it on to me. I was so delighted. I mean, that was great news.
Now, we put in just to the Department of Health and the HSE, and we got a response from Cervical Check, so you might want to hear that. We fully understand why women with cervical cancer, or indeed anybody who is seriously ill, would investigate and consider various treatments. Our concern is only about non-evidence-based treatments or unregulated clinical trials. We are fully committed to full disclosure in relation to screening. Expert reviews show that despite best efforts, no screening program or test is 100% accurate, and some people will develop interval cancers even if they attend screening regularly. We are committed to full disclosure of reviews for all participants in screening. There you go.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm heartened to see that, you know, that is something that they are putting in place going forward, you know, full disclosure on screening results for any woman who wants to find out, so that is a good step forward.
It was interesting, Gabriel Scali said that people in your position want three things: truth, an apology, an assurance, and an assurance that it won't happen again.
Exactly. And honestly, Ray, when I started all of this, when I found, that's exactly what I wanted, you know, I wanted the truth. I wanted to know what went wrong. And, you know, when I realised there were other women affected, I wanted to make sure that they found out. And I want an apology. And I wanted to make sure that this doesn't happen to anybody else. So it's exactly, you know, what he said is exactly what I wanted when I started all of this 3 years ago. Mm. Not so sure if I've gotten all of the truth. I think, you know, we've gotten some of it. But, you know, I suppose at this stage of my life, I'm more concerned and, you know, with making sure that we have a screening program that women can trust, because I have a, you know, I have a 15-year-old daughter coming up who's going to have to avail of it. And, you know, if I'm not around by the time she starts her screening, I, you know, that is really my priority, is that, you know, that there is a, you know, that I can say that hand over heart, I trust that the system will look after her, you know.
Look
and that
Amelia.
Is why I've been doing exactly what I've done over the last few years, to make sure that that is the case.
Looking back over the last 3 years, Vicky, it's been a mad, crazy time for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, you could say that.
What, can you put it in a few sentences, or, you know?
Oh, God. Yeah. Do you know, like, it's been crazy. And there have been some awful times, but mostly, to be quite honest, most of it has been good. And some people find that hard to believe, you know, that I'd be saying that, you know, I've enjoyed the 3 years. But I have. Well, I have, mainly because I'm still here, Ray.
Yes.
That's the first thing to say. But also, I've had so many opportunities and I've met so many lovely people. Like I often say, like Stephen Teep and Lorraine Walsh are two of my best friends. You know, we've met under awful circumstances, and we'd never have met had this not happened. You know what I mean? We'd never have been friends. So, you know, you often have to, you know, sometimes out of awful situations and awful things, good things happen. So I've made some really good friends. I've had some fantastic opportunities, which I've taken everything that's come my way. You know, we've got private boxes at rugby matches. And my son got to meet the Limerick hurling team.
Ed Sheeran, I think, was about.
Ed Sheeran. You know, and I mean, this is it. You have to take all the... I just think I'm at a stage in my life where I'll take every opportunity that comes my way. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. You know, you're making great memories, and that's what it's all about. I mean, we got to New Zealand last year for Christmas, and it was a fabulous holiday just before, you know, COVID hit. So, I mean, I have no regrets, absolutely none.
Yeah. See, I'm not like you, but so this is, question is coming from my head and probably doesn't fit you. But does the spectre of, you know, of death, does that go away, or what happens to it? Does it fade? Does it, what happens to it?
No, I mean, sometimes I think about it. Obviously, if I'm feeling really unwell, it becomes more and more, you know, an issue for me, and I start really worrying, you know, and I find night times hard if I'm not well. And I, you know, I think that, you know, maybe, you know, this might be the beginning of the end, you know. Say just before Christmas, I was quite sick. I was very sick for a couple of weeks before Christmas, and I really was worried at that point. And it was the first time in a while that I'd been worried, that I thought, oh God, maybe this is it, you know. And as far as kind of all my, you know, affairs, I mean, I have everything in order. I'm one of those organized people. I mean, down to like, I'm a control freak, Ray. So like, one of the other things I have is I pretty much have my funeral planned.
Have you?
Know, I know. Oh yeah.
Music and all.
Exactly.
Is there music?
Music,
it?
The whole lot.
All right.
I've asked. I mean, yeah, there's bands.
Is there?
People. Yes.
Would it be the Stunning?
Yes. It would be the Stunning. And another beautiful song I came across that I really love, and I've asked him would he play, is Brezzy, Niall Breslin.
Right.
He's a good friend of mine now, and he, you know, and he's actually written a song that was inspired by me, which is,
wow,
you know, fairly, yeah, which is coming out soon, I think. But yeah, so I have it down to the music, even.
Right.
You know, about people, and I want it to be a celebration. I don't want it to be this mournful, you know, awful, you know. I want it to be a, you know, a celebration. And that's what, off, you know, some cultures do that, don't they? A kind
yes.
of celebration
yes.
of your life. So, you know, we all know this is coming at some stage. So I'd rather it be a celebration than this awful, sad day. So for me, music is a big thing. So, yeah, I have it planned to a T. But at the same time, Ray, you know, one of the things I think that a lot of people don't get to do before they die sometimes is, you know, particularly I often find with cancer, and a lot of cancer patients will tell you the same thing, particularly, you know, people like me who are terminal and kind of, you know, it's coming. You get the time to say things to people that sometimes we don't do, you know. So we're very bad in Ireland at kind of telling people how much we love them, or maybe, you know, you might have fallen out with a friend and, you know, over something stupid. So I've repaired all of those bridges. Yeah, do you know what I mean? But it shouldn't be that we have to wait till something like this happens to do those things. And it's the same thing about my parents. You know, we wouldn't have been great in my family at kind of, you know, saying I love you or giving hugs. Now we're all doing it. You know what I mean? And that was driven by me, I suppose, and my cancer and my situation. And, you know, I have no regrets, Ray. Everybody who I love knows I love them. So, you know, there's a great comfort for me.
You're such a wonderful person. You're such a wonderful, beautiful, wise person. And that's, yeah, so that's the message to us all. Go and get. And when you say you have your affairs in order, it's not just the logistics of funerals, etc. It's everything.
It's knowing that, you know, I've done everything I can. I've squeezed every last drop out of life. You know, and that's it. And I think it's so important because a lot of us don't do that, you know. Yeah. And I certainly wouldn't have before I got cancer. You know, I think we're all so caught up in, you know, jobs and promotions and, you know, being a certain size and, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know.
I no longer care about those things. You
I think everybody listening knows, but we don't act on it. That's the thing. We know what we should be doing.
No, we don't until we're pushed into a corner like I have been. Yeah. But there's a great freedom in that sometimes because it really frees you up to just enjoy life, you know. And it's the simple things, honestly. You know, it's the simple things that make me happy because, you know, when you're not in pain, everything is a bonus, you know.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for. I'm gonna take that now, and I'm gonna make a recording of that last bit, and I'm gonna play it to myself regularly, and I mean that because it's such an important thing, and as I say, we all know it, but we few of us act on it. So wonderful to hear, Vicky. Such an inspiration. We're all praying for you, Vicky, and sending you love and very best wishes as Colette. And I'd just like to wish Vicky all the best with her treatment. Myself and my pal met Vicky on the train from Cork when we were returning from the Liam Miller charity match in 2018. She was an absolute lady and we had a really nice chat with her. That's Jerry in Blanchardstown. And what a wonderful woman, and others complaining about lockdown. Best wishes to her. And you know that everybody in the country loves you, Vicky. So we're sending positive energy across the Atlantic to Maryland, and mind yourself, and virtual hugs as well. Okay.
Oh, listen, I feel all the love. Honestly, I feel like I'm wrapped in this massive Irish blanket with all of the messages and support. Honestly, it's been phenomenal. And it's like what is it at rugby? The 15th man on the pitch, is that what they call it?
No, the 16th.
The 16th, there you go. I knew I'd get that wrong. 16th man on the pitch. You know, that's exactly what it feels I really appreciate it, honest to God. And you know, I mightn't reply to every message, I've gotten thousands of them, but I read them all, you know, and it's just lovely. Honestly, it really keeps me going over here. So thank you, everybody.
Great. Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Mind yourself, stay safe.
Thanks, Ray.
And our thoughts are with you. Thanks, Vicky. Bye now. Bye, bye.
Text 51551, The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Connor Pope. How are you doing, Connor?
Hi, Ray. How are you getting on?
Good. Good. Revolut continues. We'll talk about that in a moment. And we have a question as well. But I'll tell you what we're going to do, because we have to get an ad break in before 4 o'clock. That's then be the rules.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
No, so, I understand, Ray. I understand. Listen, and I was delighted to listen to Vicky talking with such wisdom.
Yes.
So, I mean, I was totally happy hanging on the phone and listening to her talk. I just wish I was as wise as that.
Don't we all? And wasn't that's good technology, isn't it? She sounded great. Like, I mean, like the technology
she
made
her. She sounded like she was in the studio.
Yes, which is, we're sort of discovering new ways of doing things.
None of us are ever going to go into your studio anymore now that we realise that it can all be done remotely. Like, it's like, why would I be going out to Montrose when I could just sit in my bedroom and talk to them?
Yeah, well, look, and then saving on taxi fares, etc.
No, I actually can't wait. I can't wait till I'm going out and about again.
Right, this came in. Dear Connor, I have an account with Ulster Bank. I'm in the process of buying my first house. I've been given loan approval on a house, but I'm still a couple of months away from purchasing. Is the mortgage offer at risk now that the bank is leaving Ireland, and would I be as well off switching to someone else? That's the question, and we'll get your advice after this.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE, The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Connor, I'm sure it's a question that's been echoed around the country, people who have business with Ulster Bank. This particular person has
got... big time.
Sorry? You're there.
This is big time. You're right.
Yes. So this person has got mortgage approval and they're wondering what's going to happen next.
Absolutely. And like the banking sector in Ireland is in a state of flux. As you know, even today, there was the news that Bank of Ireland is closing 103 branches across the country and in both the Republic and Northern Ireland in the months ahead. Ulster Bank is exiting the market. And as anyone who's ever bought a house knows, buying the house and getting the money to do it is one of the most stressful things you will ever do. And until the ink is actually dried on the contract, people are on edge. And that's really not very surprising in the climate that we live in now, because there was a time when the banks were throwing money at us back before the boom years, and they literally, you could get a mortgage for anything and for any amount of money. But then of course the crash happened, and as I said to you before, they became as tight as Rod Stewart's trousers and they just weren't giving anybody any money ever. And the banks are still like that. They can say one thing one day and then the complete opposite the next day. Like, so what we've seen over the last 12 months with the pandemic is that banks were giving people agreement approval in principle, and then they would reject the loans when it came to handing over the cash, because maybe the person's employer had signed up to the COVID temporary wage subsidy scheme, or maybe the bank didn't feel that the person was in employment that was going to be enduring throughout the crisis. So, you know, the banks are not all, and this is all banks, they have been known to go back on their promises in the past.
Okay.
So that's the climate in which we're living. But Ulster Bank, the good news for this listener is Ulster Bank has stated specifically that people who have mortgage approval in principle now will still be able to draw down the loans, even though they're exiting the market. Because you have to remember that Ulster Bank, it takes a long time to wind down a bank. They're not going to be gone today, tomorrow or next month. In fact, it'll probably take years for Ulster Bank to go. So if they've gone through the mortgage approval process for this person, and if they've deemed them a good credit risk, and they've done all the credit checks, and they've got their salary in place, and they've checked how much they can borrow and all that stuff, they want this person on their books. Because they will be selling that loan book to somebody else in the months and years ahead. Mm-hmm. And the more people they have on loans that they've done deals with recently, and the less people they have on tracker mortgages, which are still costing all the banks a fortune, the better it will be for Ulster Bank. So even though it is a very nerve-wracking time, very stressful, I would stay put. If you have the mortgage agreement that you're happy with, if you're happy with the rate, and if you're happy with the loan offer, well, then just bide your time, hold your nerve. You'll get over the finishing line, and then once you have the house and once you have the deal done, it doesn't make a blind bit of difference who owns the loan, because whatever rate you agree today will be maintained for the duration of the mortgage. So it's not like the loan is going to be bought by some dodgy vulture fund based in the Cayman Islands or something. And just, I don't know if there is any dodgy vulture fund in the Cayman Islands, and I apologise if there are. But it's
if
not
there
like aren't, you, they can then change the if there aren't, it's not like they can then change the terms and conditions of the loan. So once the loan is drawn down and once the house is bought, as long as you keep making the repayments based on the agreement that you've been done, everything will be the same.
I think the reassuring.
So I understand they're worried.
The reassuring thing there, what you said, Conor, is that it's in their interest. It's in Ulster Bank's interest
exactly.
to proceed with this arrangement. So that's thumbs up, I think.
100%.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'll just direct people to your article in the Irish Times today if they want more questions from Revolut. We talked about the Eamon Ryan question last week, and there's more stuff in the Irish Times
right.
today. Conor, we'll talk to you next week. Pricewatch@rte.ie okay. if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. Thanks. Thanks, Conor. Mind yourself. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Anish Tosha now in the Free Skelton and Oaktala Cart to Wallish. Gurama, good card. Thank you very much. 515-51-RAY@RT.ie. Now, I'm a fellow Moon Coin woman and I bought Vicky's book on holidays or brought Vicky's book on holidays to Spain last February and left it there with my sister. It has done the rounds to many of her English, Irish and Welsh friends out there. Best of luck, Vicky, from Helen Grange Moon Coin. And going to light a candle again outside my door tonight for Vicky Phelan, sending her love from Cork's Clare. And wise words, simple enjoyment of life is all we need. Thank you, Vicky, says that person. Derek Bambrig here from the payroll panel recruitment company with 35 years in the business. All Zoom interviews should be treated as a face-to-face meeting. Oh, this is advice on doing an interview over Zoom. Dress up and make sure you smile during the call. And above all, keep direct eye contact. So make sure the camera is directed to your face. Also, a good tip would be to bring up a gallery of the people on the call so you can see them all at the same time. And finally, tell the interviewers you're a little nervous, especially on Zoom meetings. You'd be delighted to know they are too. Aha, enjoy. That's good advice there. Thank you very much, Derek. And I interviewed someone the other day on Zoom. Turns out they had their Zoom name as Birthday B-I-T-C-H, presumably from a previous Zoom call. As soon as I admitted them, I could see them notice and rapidly change it back to their own name. But perhaps worth double checking your Zoom settings before doing an interview online. Says Dee, that's good. You don't want one of those mad backgrounds when you're looking for a serious job. That's all good advice. Thank you very much. And we might have more advice on that tomorrow. Press the button there. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. There you go. It's time for our quiz of today. Great prize this week. You're off to the Dillon 5-star luxury boutique hotel in Dublin. It's a magical place where guests can relax in the stylish, romantic surrounds of the Ruby Room. And you get fed and watered there in a luxury double room. And you can find out more at dillon.ie. Shane O'Donoghue is on the line from Letterkenny in Donegal. How are you doing, Shane?
How are you, Ray? How are you?
Good. Is the sun shining in Donegal?
Ray, it's absolutely beautiful.
Oh.
I have to say, it is gorgeous.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it, Shane.
Well, I'm looking out the window here, and there's not a cloud in the sky. The kids are gone. The wife is gone, too. They're gone for a walk.
Just me and you, Shane.
Is this you and I, Ray?
So you're obviously moved there from Dublin. How long are you up there?
I'm up here now about, say, 10 years.
Right.
Yeah, about 10 years.
And did you follow a woman up there, or what happened?
No, right, I'm afraid she followed me up.
Oh, right, you went up and she followed, right. What age are the children, Shane?
The children, well, Millie is 7 and Jake is, what age, Jake is 6.
So by my calculations, both of them are back to school today.
Yay! Ray, I was down on my hands and knees.
I'd say they were delighted as well as you.
Oh, they were, actually, yeah. I escorted them out to the bus just to make sure they got on.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody's happy. Most people are happy about it, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a beautiful day. It's the start of good things, all right. It's
great.
The start of good things.
Great. Positive energy, positive vibes.
Yeah.
Shane, you're up against Nora Keegan, who's in Granard in County Longford. How are you doing, Nora?
Oh.
Hello, Nora.
Hello.
Hi, Nora. How are you?
Good.
Is it a lovely day in Granard?
Beautiful. I think it's even nicer than Donegal.
There you go. So, blue sky, sun shining.
Yeah.
Have you been outside, Nora?
Yes, I've been walking. I walk every day. It's lovely. Yeah. Really lovely day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's important that you get out and get a bit of exercise, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Definitely. It's one of the few things you can do at the moment.
Exactly. Who's at home with you?
I have 2 sons at home with me and 2 sons away.
Right. And are they working from home, the 2 sons at home?
One is working in Longford and the other is not working because his job is closed because of COVID.
Okay, so he's on a PUP.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And yourself, you're retired or are you?
I'm retired. I was a primary teacher.
Oh, were you? Right, okay.
Yeah.
So it is a big day today that, you know, junior, senior, first and second are back.
It is.
Because
to see them.
Yeah, and you'll know from your experience, Nora, that you know, school is a lot more than just learning the lessons.
Oh, absolutely. Learning the lessons is a minor part of it in ways.
It's
just so good for them to be with other children you know, the social end of it is so important.
So important, yes. And I think we found that out over the last year.
Yeah.
How are you on quizzes?
So-so. I like quizzes. But,
right.
Yeah. But I sometimes can be good and sometimes not so good.
Right.
Depends on the questions.
Okay. Shane, how are you on quizzes?
Just the same. It's just depending on the day, really.
Okay, right. Non-committal from both of you. Good luck, Shane, in Letterkenny. Good luck, Nora, in Granard. Here we go.
Good luck, Nora.
Oh, good luck, Shane.
Okay, 5 questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If we're in a draw situation, at the end of 5 questions each, we go to a tiebreak. Okay, Shane, first question for you. On this day in 1970, the Social Democratic Party won the Austrian parliamentary election and formed a government. What we want to know is the 2 colours on the flag of Austria. Are they red and white or blue and yellow?
Austria, red and white.
Yeah, correct answer. Nora, on this day in 1994, Martti Ahtisaari was inaugurated as President of Finland. What are the 2 colours on the Finnish flag? Blue and red or blue and white?
Blue and white.
Correct answer. Shane, second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans. and a nice Chianti. You fly back to school now, little starling.
On this day in 2003, actor Anthony Hopkins married actress-producer Stella Arroyave in Malibu in California. Can you name the film you heard him in there?
Silence of the Lambs.
Is the correct answer? Yes. Scary, just even that clip is scary. Okay, Nora, yeah. Your question, have a listen to this.
Joseph!
Excuse me, drunkards.
Hello, Grace.
Hello, Joseph. Will I be seeing you in church tomorrow morning?
Sounds divine and holy, Grace. We could share a pew, me and you.
Okay, on this day in 1954, Ron Howard, American actor and director, was born. He directed the 1992 film Far and Away. Can you name the actor you heard there who played the part of Joseph Donnelly in Far and Away?
No idea. No.
His Irish accent is infamous as a result of that movie. No? Anything? No.
No.
Tom Cruise, that was, Nora.
Oh, for God's sake.
Believe it or not, there you go, yeah. Okay, early days, no need to fret. Shane, third question for you. On this day in 1941, the first US commercial FM radio station went on air in Nashville, Tennessee. What we want to know is, how many US states in total begin with the letter T? Is it two or three?
Two.
Correct answer, Tennessee and Texas. Yeah, well done. Nora. Similar question for you. On this day in 1803, Ohio became the 17th state of the Union. In total, how many US states begin with the letter O? Is it three or four?
Three.
Correct answer. Ohio, Oklahoma and Oregon. So you know, you're back in the game. Shane, fourth question for you is an audio one. Have a listen to this. On this day in 1994, that Canadian singer was born in Ontario. Can you name him?
Him?
Yeah.
That was a girl singing. Justin Bieber.
Yeah, you're right there. Yeah, Justin Bieber.
That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, there you go. Right, Nora, have a listen to this. You have to answer this correctly to stay in with a chance, Nora. Good luck with this. On this day in 1994, at the 36th Grammy Awards, that band were nominated for Album of the Year. The album was Automatic for the People. Can you name the band?
R.E.M.
It's the correct answer. Yes, you're still in it. Now, Nora, not that you would wish this on anybody, but you have to hope that Shane gets this final question wrong and that you get your final question right, and then we're into a tie-break situation. Shane, if you get this right, you're today's winner. Good luck. Here we go.
Okay.
On this day in 1959, Archbishop Macarius returned to Cyprus after 3 years in exile and later became president. What we want to know is the current population of Cyprus. Is it 1.2 million, 1.5 million or 1.9 million?
1.5.
It's 1.2. It's 1.2. Okay. But you still did very well. You answered four correctly out of five. Nora, that opens the door for you now. If you answer this correctly, we're into a tie-break situation. Here we go. Good luck. On this day in 1922, Yitzhak Rabin, former Prime Minister of Israel, was born in Jerusalem. What we want to know is the current population of Israel. Is it 6 million, 9 million or 12 million?
12 million.
It's 9 million. Sugar. Oh, sugar.
Sugar.
Sugar. Sugar, which you can put in your Ray Darcy Show mug with a cup of tea. So
lovely.
Lovely talking to you, Nora.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, mind yourself. Stay safe.
Okay.
Bye. See you, Nora. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you, Nora.
That was close, Shane. That was close.
Yeah. God.
But the good news is you and a person of your choice will be paying a visit to the Dillon, the 5-star luxury boutique hotel in Dublin. And you'll be treated very well in the luxury double room. And you can whet your appetite at dillon.ie. Okay?
Very appreciate that, okay?
Yeah. Good talking to you. Mind yourself and the family. Okay, Shane. See ya.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show. on RTE Radio 1.
We're going to be talking to funny man Jason Byrne in a moment, but first this. Ah, come on. Thank you. Great song, Crowded House. Weather with you on RTE Radio 1. 51551RTE.ie. Good afternoon, Jason Byrne.
What's the name of that song?
Weather with you.
You
not like it?
I was on hold. Take the weather with you. Take the weather with you. All you ever say, take the weather with you. I know. You know what, as well, with the Irish, I love that. Like, you know, when you ever arrive anywhere and it's raining, they'll always say that to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you brought the
weather
brought the
with
rain.
You. You brought the weather.
I've never heard an Irish person go, oh, you brought the sun. No. It's always, you brought the rain with you, did you? Because I've been travelling around Ireland a lot, and whenever I arrive into a county, you brought the storm or the rain. Yeah, I put it in my car and brought it down.
Are you talking to us from your loo?
No, I'm actually just a couple of doors away. I've promoted myself into one of the rooms here where I have all my microphones and everything
right.
now.
Right. Because you're doing a thing, jokes and the jacks.
Yeah, I was. So I was trying to cheer up myself and cheer up everybody in the lockdown, you know, to even keep us all going. Because as I was saying before to people that, you know, even if you've lost your job like I have, it's just, if you can keep yourself busy, that's good for the old head, you know what I mean? It's like, and I always say, like if you went out to the back garden and you did a load of gardening, when you come back in, you'll feel good, yeah. but you didn't get paid for it, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I was in the toilet doing Jason Byrne's jokes, now Jacks, I was only kicking in Vicar Street a couple of thousand people, and the next minute I'm in the Jacks. And I'm putting, listen to this, I'm making up these quiz shows because I'm not doing stand-up in there. I'm making up all these serial games. And at one stage, I was on to the British National Grid doing their whatever party, the thousands of them. And I was putting bits of props down me jacks and I had to guess what movie was in me toilet, right? So I dropped, like, you know, like me, I put me trainer, right?
Yeah.
And me shave, me, you know, like a shaver down there, like a blade. And the answer is Blade Runner, yeah. right? But the English, they couldn't get it because it's a trainer. They don't call it runners.
Oh,
yes,
going, yes, yes.
They kept going, Blade Trainer? And no, Blade Runner. And they were going, what's a runner? And I was going, oh, shit. Oh, yeah. I forgot.
So were you on a big screen or was it on a Zoom? You were on a big screen somewhere or a
whatever
Zoom?
What happened was I could see myself in this massive, like, arena-looking place.
Right.
And then I was being pumped around all their houses into all their Zoom calls.
Right.
And you can't hear them or anything. They're just texting, like, some of them. You know, and I'm just talking to myself and the Jacks.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think at the beginning you said you wouldn't do any of those, but you came round eventually.
No, I wouldn't do any stand-up, I said.
Oh,
you know
right.
I mean?
This is different,
so,
right, okay.
Oh, yeah, so I don't mind sitting there, like, sitting on me Jacks playing stupid quiz games. Like, and that's fine. But standing there with a hairbrush in my hand and not doing that.
No. Well, yeah, you're not doing it this Friday night, are you?
No.
This
Friday night, no, we're in an actual studio.
Right.
And we're going to have a massive screen.
Okay.
And it has about 50 people on the screen there. Like I actually said the other day, it has 50 tellies on it. Like there's not 50 tellies all gaffer taped together. No, it's a big screen apparently. And it has 50 Zoom heads on it, but we can hear them.
Uh-huh.
And talk. So like an audience.
Right.
We can hear them laughing and talking back to us. And,
right.
But it's still a challenge. I'll do a mixture of stand-up and jokes and jacks, definitely. When you do the Zoom calls, like, you know, you can hear people sipping on their wine, you know, eating their food, you know, blowing off. You can hear kids crying. You can see people getting up and you can hear their toilets flushing and then coming back to you. It's been some experience.
But you're in their houses. Like that's, you know, that's very intimate, isn't it? That's you on your loo, them like going to the loo, coming back. It's very intimate, yeah.
And it's quite dangerous for them watching it because when you're sitting there drinking, you know, wine on your own, and you're watching someone like me, and you're typing, you forget that it's actually you're at a gig. You're not. You're in your house, but you're at a gig.
So it's Galway Comedy Festival and Roisin Dubh Comedy Present Comedy Carnival. Carnival. That's because it's Carol Spain.
Carol Spain. Yeah, Lisa Casey and Tom O'Mahony are on as well, yeah.
Right, and it's roisindubh.net and it's on this Friday night at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to, isn't it? That's what we need. We just need, you know, little achievable steps. We'll get as far as Friday night and we'll go to the roisindubh virtually and we'll laugh with Jason sitting on his loo and his runners and all
that's
that.
That's what Micheál should have said the other day. He shouldn't have said, I'll put everybody back to school on the 1st of March and I don't know when we're all going to be back. He should have said, there's a gig on Friday, everybody, right? So just chill the biscuits.
Yeah, well, you see, they don't know. To be fair to them, they don't know, so they can't predict. So
what?
You know. But they don't know. They don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen, really. So they can't.
But all he had to do was do what Boris does and just lie and make everybody happy. That's what Boris said. 21st of June, you'll all be out. Will we? Yeah. Go on.
No, but the next day, he sort of rolled back on that. He said, "Oh, maybe it won't be the 25th of June."
But you know, that's what you do. I think the public just need a hug now and again from Micheál. Just give it a bigger hug. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's all, and we'll get there. But we're doing well.
We are actually doing well. And now it's the 1st of March, and the sun is shining, the birds are singing, all that sort of thing. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, the birds are singing. That's brilliant. But there's no money coming into this house, right?
Did you get a grant? Did you get a bit?
Oh, so what we did is we got a bit of a grant, right? Yeah. Which was big. It was brilliant, right? Because we rang. So it's great talking to the government, and they said, "Yeah, here's a bit of a grant for gigs." And we said, "We can't do gigs. The venues are closed. You closed them." And they went, "Oh, did we? All right, okay, sorry." So they said, "We said, can we make a television show?" Even they went, "Yeah, make a TV show." So we made a thing, and people can go on to it. It's great crack. www.goodroomtv.com
Right.
And I said, why don't we just get a couple of mates around and we'll talk about our childhood. So we filmed it in a proper studio, all social distance, and it's on there, on that website. It's free, and there's PJ Gallagher, Fiona Looney, myself and Joe Rooney for the first one, and then the next couple of episodes are Ardla Hanlon and Arthur Matthews and Sue Collins. And
right.
Ardla Hanlon and Arthur Matthews haven't been together since Father Ted. So Arthur Matthews is the guy who writes Father Ted,
yes,
with Graham Lennon.
Yes.
So it's great to see them together, but when you start talking about your childhood, we've great crack. Because I grew up in the 80s, and then, you know, a couple of lads grew up in the 70s, but when Arthur Matthews is talking about growing up in the 60s, we're going to what? So, but the stories that were coming out of them was just brilliant. It's like all about, like doing breakdancing on Lino, curbs, ramps, love bites.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Just... You're speaking my language now.
Yeah, and listen, Ardle had a great story. He said that there was a fella around his area, Monaghan, and his car only had three doors, right? And so he only had two in the front and one in the back. But when he got out of it, he'd always lock the car before he'd go into his house. And there's no door on the back. Oh, it's brilliant.
I'll have to see that. So it's goodroomtv.com. Goodroomtv.
Yeah, you'll see all of us talking about the growing up in the
70s. But you love the childhood thing because you've written the book about it, and then you did that show where, because I was on it, you had to bring in...
Fantastic.
Yeah, family photographs from the 70s and the 80s, and you showed them up and you took the piss out of us.
I love it. Like, it's great crack, you know, and there's so many, it's endless stories, you know what I mean? And that's the thing, when people are watching it, and somebody sent me one saying, somebody from West Cork, I think it was, said they used to have an ice cream shop, and they used to call it Smellies. And they said that the Elman, when she made an ice cream, it wasn't like a cone thing. She'd break off the block. You know,
yeah.
She did that. She'd cut it with a knife, but then she'd lick the knife before she'd make the next one.
Yeah.
And then this is the best bit. She had a chipper in the same place. So at night, whenever she was draining the chips where she gave them to, she had her old tights. She used to put the chips in her tights before she gave them to you.
Smellies. We don't have time to talk about the fact that you're developing an app.
We'll go real fast. I Laugh is the first new comedy app out there, and you can download it. It's just like iTunes.
Is it available now? I Laugh.
Yeah, it's
right,
available
okay,
now.
Brilliant,
loads
brilliant.
Of funny stuff and comedians and everything.
Okay.
And brilliant.
I Laugh, there's the app, and roisindove.net for tickets for Carnival Online, Carl Spain and Jason Byrne and friends this Friday, 9 o'clock. Jason, mind yourself, stay safe.
Okay.
Looking forward to giving you a hug sometime
Thanks,
in the future.
Ray. Oh,
see
you.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, you bring the rain with you, Ray. Bye.
Good luck. Bye. That's Jason. Cormac is there on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.